After years of efforts, tenants in the city's supportive housing program finally convinced the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing to develop a policy on how and why low-income tenants can be evicted. Christine Even is a homeless advocate and a commissioner on the Homelessness Oversight Commission. She says a San Francisco Chronicle investigation found that many of San Francisco's evictions are from city-funded single-room occupancy residences.
It was revealed that the city has paid for the eviction of at least 774 people since 2018, and that in a three-year period, that 25% of the evictions citywide came from some 75 SROs funded by the city. And most often with the result of someone once again homeless and displaced from so-called permanent supportive housing, not so permanent after all. This whole process, the very definition of self-defeating.
The San Francisco Chronicle reported last August that Mayor London Breed and her top deputies in the Department of Homelessness and Supportive Housing were relying on SROs to house the homeless. But the report found that from 2019 to 2022, the city also spent millions of taxpayers' dollars to evict more than 400 people from those same SROs, which forced those residents back into homelessness. The investigation highlighted the lack of clear policies to prevent or limit the evictions and showed that there are no rules governing when a property manager can evict a tenant. Critics of the city's policy say the lack of regulations means that many homeless people get evicted for issues like poverty, mental illness, trauma, and the inability to care for themselves, which are issues that pushed them into homelessness to begin with. Jordan Levis is an SRO tenant and activist. He worked with other tenants in the city's supportive housing program. Together, they came up with a list of recommendations to improve the city's eviction policies.
I want to elevate two concerns. One is the issue of rent payment methods. We should be able to pay rent by check or remotely and not be forced into third-party checks unless we are chronically late and bounce our checks. And also, late fees should be banned. And I wanted to also talk about evictions should only be for substantial nuisance affecting other tenants. As apparently, my landlord, Tenderloin Housing Clinic, thinks that the blue hair dye stains on the bathtub are a fire hazard.
David Elliott Lewis is the co-chair of Tenderloin's People Campaign and a formerly unhoused person. He recommends a pre-eviction arbitration to avoid worsening the situation of tenants facing potential eviction.
Is that there are solutions to help with this problem, and one of them is to try to prevent evictions from even going to court. If an eviction goes to court and it goes to judgment in 60 days, that would be a mark on that individual's record for the rest of their life. If whenever they try to rent again from any kind of landlord, they can be looked up and they can be denied housing because they once had a successful eviction. Our proposal is require pre-court filing arbitration. Obviously, if the arbitration fails or if the tenant refuses to participate, yes, it can go to court. But give the tenant an opportunity to plead their case, whether it's nuisance or non-payment or whatever the issue, before a binding arbitrator that can try to resolve the case.
According to tenants' advocates, a pre-arbitration process could prevent many tenants from becoming homeless again. Critics of the city's homelessness policy welcomed the formation of the Homelessness Oversight Commission in May as a first step to avoiding unnecessary evictions. But tenants' advocates state they are looking forward to the city adopting some of their recommendations. For KPFA News, I'm Gilles Martel.